You would open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to begin reading today in verse 105 under the Hebrew letter Nun. Verse 105, we'll read down to verse 112. Hear now the word of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I've not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and Lord, we pray now as we come to consider your word, Lord, that you would indeed illumine our hearts, Lord, strengthen our minds, Lord, bend and mold and shape our wills to your holy purposes through your word. Lord, help us today as we listen, as we hear your voice. Lord, our prayer is that we would not hear clever words of men, but that we would indeed hear and see a demonstration of the Spirit's power through the Word and the Spirit by which you guide us. Lord, may we indeed this day hear your voice, your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You know, there's lots of psychological and pseudo-spiritual advice out there about how one should handle dark and depressing times. And life often comes crashing down upon us. There are negative events, there are illnesses, worry, there's various kinds of attacks that come upon us that can leave us devoid of peace and feeling like we've lost our way in the darkness of life. And, you know, the world offers some strategies for dealing with such things and such times as this. I saw one piece of advice this week that said the way to improve your level of peace and well-being when you're confronted with such kind of troubles is to embrace hope and to limit your viewing of the news and to get outside. Well, you know, that may be of some help, especially not watching the news, but the Word of God is really always seems set in opposition to all such kinds of human counsel. For you see, unless the Word of God lights your path, the entire course of your life is enveloped in darkness and difficulty. You're left to wander blindly, deviating from the right way. You go this way, that way, you're tossed here and there. But if you commit yourself to following faithfully the teaching of God's Word, there's no danger of going in the wrong path. This is what the psalmist says here in the opening verse of this section, a verse just about everyone who was raised in the church can quote. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We sang it in Sunday school as children. It's there in your hymnal, actually on page 272. You'll have to look at it. That's all it says. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Over and over. We sang that in Sunday school. And it expresses a very simple and profound truth. In a dark world, The Word of God is a sure guide for the righteous. There's a great benefit in having a clear understanding of the Word, of the doctrines of our faith, which are set forth in the Word. What the world says is right is very often sinful and perverse and even dangerous in the judgment of God. The advice of the world is not only not helpful in dark times, it's often contrary to the way that God says we should go. And when we follow what seems good to us without considering God's word, we often find ourselves stumbling along in deeper darkness, farther away from the path we should be going. And the Word of God is a lamp that shines in the darkness of this world, in our own minds, which are confused sometimes or in distress. The Word of Scripture should be something we keep in mind, something that will overcome all of our fears and anxieties and direct our thoughts and lead us in the right way. So it's incumbent upon the Christian to give greater diligence to the reading and the study of the Scripture and pray to God that they would live thereby and not follow in the ways of the world. The light that you need to live life in the darkest moments of life is found in the Word, provided you open your eyes to behold it. As we read in our New Testament reading this morning, remember what we read? It said, you will do well to pay attention to the Word as to a light shining in the darkness. Interesting, isn't it? Peter seizes upon these words of the psalmist. You will do well to pay attention to the Word. However, living life in accordance with God's Word does not come without risk. Following God's righteous laws, being obedient to God, can bring persecution. But God's commands are His righteous judgments. They are the dictates of His infinite wisdom, and it is our duty to keep them. The psalmist says he's taken a solemn oath to follow God's commands. That may seem like kind of a rash promise on his part, doesn't it? Who can keep the law? Who can obey the law? He's taken a solemn oath, he says, to follow God's commands. Is he promising something he cannot do? Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it. For no one can keep the whole law. And as James said, anyone who is guilty of breaking the law in one point, is guilty of breaking the whole law. So who can do that? But there is perhaps another way of looking at it. As Calvin said, whenever the faithful vow to God, they do not look to what they are able to do themselves, but they depend upon the grace of God, to whom it belongs to perform what He requires of them in the way of supplying the strength they need by His Holy Spirit. What God commands His people, He will graciously give them the help to do, if they will but listen and follow what He says. As Paul wrote to the Philippian church, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. The way to go about keeping God's law is, first of all, to receive it and embrace what He commands as what it is, holy and pure and just, without any mixture of error. I think that's the problem within the church. There are a lot of things God says and commands that In our modern world, perhaps we don't really see the need of that, or perhaps God doesn't really know what's going on. You know, when he wrote the Bible, there were no cell phones and none of that. That's a foolish way of looking at it. What God commands is exactly right, 100% of the time. And so we need to pray for understanding of the Word. We need to pray, as Calvin says here, that the Holy Spirit would guide us and strengthen us and help us to abide by what God asks us to do. Well, after making such a promise, after taking such an oath as the psalmist does here, there are a lot of things that might come at you to test your fidelity to God. We've all, I think, at times promised God that we would do better in this area or that area of life. And almost immediately, it seems, there are temptations and things which come at you to make it exceedingly difficult to remain faithful to what you promised, to remain faithful to God's word. And notice the affliction of the psalmist. He suffered much. He suffered a lot. He's in danger of losing his life. He's at the point of death. We know this because he's praying for the Lord to preserve his life. But that's something to take note of. Even though he was threatened with death, even though he's besieged by death, he leaned on God. In the darkest times, his hope was in the Lord. His statement also, notice that he took his life in his hands. It's the same as saying his life was in danger. We kind of use that expression a little loosely sometimes. You know, we might say, which is pretty true a lot of times, you take your life in your hands every time you go out on the highway. There's a lot of people out there that don't really know how to drive. That may be only metaphorically true, but you get the point of what the psalmist is saying. His desire, his solemn promise to live according to God's law was producing suffering. And he literally took his life in his hands every time he held true to the word of God. You know, a lot of times you can avoid danger. You can avoid being criticized, or you can avoid confrontations by just ignoring or deciding not to adamantly stand for God's truth, by downplaying the commands of the Lord in the face of confrontations with people or confrontation by the world. But the psalmist here is more concerned about living a godly life than worrying about the danger that it might present. The psalmist also tells us the source of the danger to which he was constantly exposed. He's besieged on every side by the wicked, who set all kind of snares and traps for him. You know, we've been focusing in this text on how difficult it is to see and know the right way to go, how to find your way in this dark world, how to follow the way God has set out for you. But in this, God sets out for his people the way to go. But you know, all that comes in addition to, all this comes in addition to the suffering and the dangers to which we are constantly exposed. It's even more difficult to go the right way when your enemies set traps for you, when they attack you, when they try to lead you in the wrong way, when they try to bring about your destruction. This job is hard enough by itself. Listening to God's word and doing what God asks us to do without all the attacks of the world and those who are opposed to us. That even makes it more difficult. And, you know, at this point, it's very clear that the psalmist has many troubles. It might bring to mind many of your own troubles. But what I would have you notice about the psalmist and would point out to you, if you feel like you're being besieged, that you're under attack, notice what he does. Notice how he clings to the Lord in faith and obedience to his word. When his life is in danger, he prays the Lord will preserve his life. And notice what he says. Preserve my life. What's he say? According to your word. He clings to the promises of God. Promises like Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Or Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, for it is Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Or Isaiah 41. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or how about Psalm 34? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Despite his suffering, despite his various troubles, and the fact that his life was in danger, the psalmist clings to the Lord in faith. And notice too, he says that although he takes his life in his hands by walking in obedience to the Lord, he takes his life in his hands, although the wicked attack him and set traps for him, he says he has not strayed from the commands of the law. He has not only not forgotten God's law, he has also not forgotten to obey the word. He resolves to seek his happiness and his comfort in the word of God. By God's grace, he has withstood many troubles and much affliction, and that same grace carried him safely all this way and would not fail him going forward. That's the one thing I think we forget sometimes when desperate times engulf us. We forget all the times past when God has graciously preserved us in perhaps even worse circumstances, perhaps even more danger. We should think upon these things. We should mark all the places wherein we've seen the divine promises fulfilled, where the knowledge of divine truth has been our great comfort, irrespective of the circumstances. And if you think about it for just a moment, you'll realize something else. This word, the word of God, contains a promise that all those who believe in Christ Jesus will be saved. There's nothing this world can do to you that can change that. You have been redeemed. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. As we come to the table in a few minutes, we will not only remember that, but partake of Christ's sacrifice. What could be a greater comfort than that? Regardless of the depth of your troubles, your pain, your sorrow, might not be here today, but they might show up tomorrow. What could be a better, greater comfort to you than knowing you are safe, eternally safe, in the hands of God? And so the psalmist says, your statutes, that is, God's word, is more precious to him than all the pleasures and the riches and possessions of the world. You know, so much of the strife and the darkness and the sin, the frustration, the anxiety that overwhelms people, even God's people, is born of the struggle to gratify this incessant coveting of the world's trinkets and baubles. They're shiny objects. They're things that allure us, but they're really nothing of lasting value. And avoiding that requires a heart that's right toward God, a heart that loves God, a heart that loves His Word, in order to see that the fulfillment that's really sought, the hope, the peace, and the joy that you really need is found in the promises of God, not in the possessions of this world. What can be sweeter and better than to have heaven opened to us? What can be more desirable than to know that God is reconciled to us, that He has pardoned all our sins and adopted us as His children forever? Troubles may come and troubles may go, but in the midst of them, there's this sure knowledge that God's promise of salvation, of eternal life, is good forever. That should bring you joy, irrespective of the darkness that may surround you at times. And life's tough. Things get bad. Things get terrible sometimes. But God's plan for us, His eternal plan for our joy, never changes. And that glorious truth ought to be the light along your way. It should produce in you the same desire as the psalmist, a heart that is set on keeping God's decrees, as he says here at the very end of this psalm. He wants to do that to the very end. That is to follow the Lord faithfully and fully. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for indeed calling us to yourself. Lord, thank you that your promises are sure. They are sealed with the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Deliverer. And Lord, all these things, whatever comes each day, we know is in your hand. And Lord, you have promised that all these things work together for your glory and for our eternal good. And Lord, that is our strength in the face of difficulties. That is the light that shines upon our path. That is the inner light that we have as your people that brings joy and peace to us. And how we thank you, how we praise you. And Lord, we pray as we go out into this dark world that we will shed forth that light, shed it abroad in a world that is dark and dying without Christ. And Lord, may we as your church and your people be faithful in doing that. And Lord, may you be pleased and honored by all that's done. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.